Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for August 31st. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, too much. Just enjoying a nice day here. Got to watch a day game and then see the, sort of follow the night games for a change. So, kicking back.
Yes, the night games, one of which would not end. We were exchanging emails. I says, geez, the horse is dead. Stop beating it. And then it turns out they needed those runs.
Yeah, it turns out that, they're closer to Bazashi than Roast Horse.
Yes, but the Swallows did outlast the Tigers, and that was a good game to watch. And we're going to talk about a lot of other stuff. We've got an interview with Anderson Hernandez of the Trunichi Dragons. We're going to talk about MVP candidates and a whole lot more. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right. Well, on Friday, I had the good fortune to be at Tokyo Dome, where the Dragons and Giants were getting ready to play three. Well, too bad for the Dragons there.
Well, it looked like the Giants were getting ready to play three. The Dragons were just there.
Yeah, it's funny because, in short, they came off a three-game series at Yakult where they wasted so many scoring opportunities and they lost all three games. And then they came and played the Dragons, and they essentially did nothing that they didn't do against the Swallows except have good luck.
Well, sometimes that's what you need.
Yeah, and it was funny. It was really funny because they had horrible luck during the week, and they came home, and they had good luck, and the Dragons, slipped on a banana a banana. What are those things that surround bananas? Peels. They found the banana peels. Okay, so anyway, they're getting ready to play the three-game set, and I had a chance to talk with Anderson Hernandez, and Anderson's kind of a utility. He plays all around the infield, and when he plays, and he's primarily a shortstop for the Dragons, and he's been in and out of the lineup, and you can hear that when you talk. And basically, I wanted his perspective on being kind of a role player with an undefined role on a team that doesn't appear to be going anywhere.
Nowhere man in nowhere land.
I like that. What? Well, I wouldn't label him a nowhere man, but you can hear a little of that, frustration. I'm here, he's trying to do a good job. He's trying to do his best, but it's almost like the deck stacked against him.
Right.
So, okay, so let's listen to what Andy has to say. Okay, our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is Anderson Hernandez, infielder for the Trunichi Dragons. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's always glad to have you on. Now, the Dragons have played very well recently, last few games, and what's going on with the team? Is it the pitching, the defense, the hitting?
It's everything combined. We've been pitching good. We've been hitting when main position, score position, sorry. And the defense being good, that's all. I mean, when you got pitching and defense, the team going good.
Okay, now one of the things I noticed about your team is that it seems like every time I look, there's different players in different positions. It's today's catcher, who is this guy? And, you've used like six different shortstops. And is that hard when, your teammates, when your position is different and the guy who's playing at third base is a different guy every day? Or
Sometimes yes, because let's say I've been playing shortstop the first 3 months. Mm-hmm. Then they put me play second. The next month they put me to play third. It's a little hard, but we try to do the job. Whatever they put us, we try to do the best. And yeah, it's a little hard because you change position all the time, but we try to do your best.
And even when your playing partners are different, because you got to know where the guys are all the time.
Yeah, that's true. You have to know them, because sometimes with the double play, you have to know how he tend to play, how he throw it, and all that stuff.
Right. So it's I noticed the Dragons' defense this year was not as good as we're used to seeing it, but I think recently a little better.
Yeah, we've been playing good baseball last 2 weeks. Yeah, we've been playing better, and we start getting over the stand. We were set sixth, and now we are fifth play now. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, so We like 5 games behind. We're good. We're trying to get in third place. That's what we want.
Yeah, I think you're still in a position. You're obviously anybody, even the Bay Stars, you know, no reason they couldn't finish third. You know, you're going to have to keep fighting all the way this year.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to keep doing it and try to finish third. If not, you know, like that's going to happen, but we're going to try hard.
Okay, well, I see the hard play all the time from the Dragons this year. It's just that been times when the defense hasn't worked and the offense hasn't worked and the pitching hasn't worked. And I mean, but you know, you've had some really good pitching, got some great pitching from Ono all year, and the new kid Wakamatsu.
Wakamatsu, yeah, yeah. We got those two are really good, and the new guy Nader, he's good too. So yeah, he's been pitching good. I mean, when they pitch and we make run, we win the game. That's it. That's simple. We had to make run. That's it.
Now, as you go through the season, as I said, there were a lot of changes in July, especially June, July, August. Is there less changing now? Are things getting more settled, or hasn't changed? Everything's still moving.
Sometimes they move a lot of people. I think they want to know. The young guys, they are in minor leagues, and they bring it in and try to put in there and see what they got. And that thing is the reason that you see a lot of different guys there, and they want to know what they're going to give for next year.
Mm. Well, now they must know what everybody can do, because you've seen everybody on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure, they know.
Okay, now speaking of new guys, there's a lot of new pitchers in the Central League, and I don't know if you faced like a Yamanaka with the Swallows, the submarine guy.
Yeah, he pitched, but I don't face him.
Okay, so probably you're lucky.
Yeah, I was on the bench that day.
Yeah, you see a lot of that, and how are you able to keep your timing? You know, going up and down to the farm and with all the different pitchers. It must be quite a challenge this year.
Yeah, you had the pretty strong man, you know. You had the keep walking and try to do your job. When they put you there, try to do your best. That's
okay.
It.
So you have to work extra hard on the farm, get a lot of swings just to stay in your shape. But there's nothing you can do about not seeing the first team pitchers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this year I have been there. Yet, I mean, I wasn't playing, but I was here. So, I keep doing my stuff here. I mean, hitting, getting my ground balls, do my exercise, and when they put me there, you know, do my best.
And watch the game from the bench.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've probably seen more Dragons games from the bench than the beat writers.
Yeah.
Okay. So now the second year for foreign players is often a lot harder because, especially if you have some success, You know the pitchers, and you know you coming in what you're going to do, but everybody's got a new plan against you. And now we know we can get Andy out.
Yeah.
They got a new idea, and now you got to face a whole another way of attacking. Did you have any difficulties this year?
Yeah, it's a little hard because last year, you know, they threw me a lot of splitter. Uh-huh. And then I chased it. But this year, I don't chase that many splitter, but they throw me a lot of corner now.
Okay.
And sink it outside, so they throw me in and out. But, you know, I try to get my pitch and try to hit.
Baseball is pretty simple.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Japan and they try to make it more complicated.
Yeah, they throw a lot of stuff here, so, you know, we have to be ready.
What do they do I have to ask what they do in the meetings before the series, you know, like they're going to throw you this, they're going to look for this pitch on 1-2?
Not really. They turn like about last game that guy throw, you know.
Oh, okay.
And we see how he pitch and we go from there.
Okay, so basically you look at the starters, what they're
throwing. Yeah, the starter. We don't look at the reliever.
Okay, and then if you're lucky, you play in one of those games.
Yeah.
All right, well, good luck, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Anderson. Appreciate your time. I know it's not always easy, but you were very patient waiting for all your practice to get done. So good to have you on the show.
Yep. Yeah. I got to see him on Saturday. I went out there on Saturday, and he's such a nice guy.
He is.
A nice guy. Yeah.
So, well, I mean, you had some of those questions. So what did you get from his answers?
Well, I first of all, I wanted to say that I try to get my pitch line kind of reminded me of Andre Jones. You know, I'm looking for my pitch, and I'm like, okay, looking for his pitch. This one's trying to get his pitch. What is happening out here? Let's just hit the pitches that get thrown to us, all right?
Well, Andre Jones is still looking for his pitch.
But you got to love Andy. You know, he was really nice to me. I saw him on Saturday. And he comes up and asks me how I'm doing and all that stuff. And and I'm thinking, yeah, man, I'm probably doing so much better than you guys as baseball players because I don't have to hit the ball and I don't have to throw it. So I don't have to worry about averages and ERAs and all that other stuff. And
That makes life as a reporter so much easier. We don't have to do anything.
So much easier. And I don't have to watch. And I don't have to answer my own stupid questions.
Just think how much baseball players' lives would be better without you and I.
All right. Well, now he's been an average guy defensively, and he was struggling at the plate. And that's when they sent him down and brought up Issei Endo, who really looked good as a shortstop until he got hurt. So now that's why Andy's playing again. But I love the guy's attitude. You know, just try to do your job. I bet you if you put him in the outfield, he'd work harder than anybody else to be the best outfielder he could be, which is really noble. But the truth is they're just not that good as a team, and I think the standings are not lying when they tell us that they're in last place and probably to some degree overachieving in some respects. But all the guys, and I shouldn't say all the guys, a lot of the guys we thought would be a factor in that lineup, like we thought Wada would be playing more, we thought Morino would be playing more, we thought actually the catcher skipper Motonobu Tanishige would be playing more. And we expected to see Masahiro Yamamoto more than once so far this season. So we just kind of assumed they were going to just be old. And they are going through this transition phase, obviously. Yeah. It's very obvious.
Well, they were last year as well. In fact, in many ways, it's just a continuation of last year when I thought they were old. And they played much better than I expected a year ago because the young guys were fast.
Yeah.
You know, and here we look, and the Dragons still, you know, what he said, that, you know, they're trying to find out what the young kids could do. I'm saying this is what they were doing from last June.
Yeah, yeah. And they're
trying different young guys, and I guess they're going to figure out, they probably decided how many guys they're going to discard at the end of the year, so they're just trying to figure out which ones they're going to be.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that later. But I think we kind of got another backdoor slider, and this is not from a pitcher. At the end of the conversation, he said, we do talk about the starting pitchers, but we don't talk about the bullpen guys so much. And I'm like, you know, I don't believe they don't study the relievers in these hitting meetings. I mean, I have to assume they get the data and they spend some time on it. Or maybe they just know these guys a little bit better because they expect to see them every day. And some of them, they do see it a lot of multiple times in a series.
I think that's possible. And the other thing that reminded me of is that when every NPB team used to supply, the home team supplied the baseballs. The 2 weeks before the start of each series, the team would receive the baseballs that were going to be used in that. The visiting team would receive the baseballs, so the starting pitchers could practice with them. They didn't get it.
Yeah, you should explain that they used to be different at different ballparks.
Right. There used to be about five. Well, at one point there was about five different manufacturers of balls in Japan in NPB.
Right.
And teams would use different, you know, some teams would use, the Marines used to use an Asics ball against some teams, and they'd use a Mizuno ball against, oh, I take that back, you know, but they all had different ways of switching them up.
Right.
Some based the ball based on the opponent, some based the ball on the schedule. It was, some of them used them in the road parks, whatever, but they had more than one ball. And so the visiting teams, starting pitchers would have balls to practice with so they could get used to them, but the relievers didn't.
Yeah, sorry guys.
You know, it was like, yeah, but that's the way things used to be in Japan. They just kind of, you know, it's so funny that was normal.
Yeah, that sounds wacky. Now, I like him saying that the key to winning the games is scoring runs, because, and he was right, in August, and the Dragons got hot for a while because they limited opponents to two runs or fewer 11 times in August, and that was good, but they couldn't compete over the weekend at Tokyo Dome because they've given up runs early on. The games got blown up early, and you know they don't have a great offense. So if they get runs early, or if they get behind early, it's you know, it either puts stress on the opponent, although it didn't today on Sunday at Tokyo Dome, or it puts stress on the batters or the lineup to come up and try to produce, because they don't, they haven't had a lot of consistent hitting from anybody except Luna, maybe Oshima a little bit all season. Yeah, but he's been inconsistent. He's been streaky, I should say. He's had his streaks of really good times, and then
streaks are normal. I wouldn't really put that hold that against somebody. I mean, basically, if you flip a coin, you know, to do the odd one, if you flip a coin 100 times, you're going to have stretches where you get 10 heads in a row.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It's normal that, you know, the guy would hit 400 one month and 200 the next if he's a 300 hitter.
I hear you. I just think he hasn't been. I think Luna's really been consistent. I mean, I haven't looked at the numbers, but obviously if you look at his hits, they're pretty consistent each month, whereas Hirata has probably had a couple good months, and they were early on, and then since then he hasn't been the same kind of a hitter. He's been different.
Yeah, what I saw, you know, and having not watched the Dragons very often, what I saw today, which really struck me, was how dumb.
Hashtag high heat.
How dumb the offensive tactics are. You know, you're trailing by a run, and okay, so the Dragons were trailing by one run in the seventh before the meat of the Giants bullpen came in. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was actually a good move to keep the starting pitcher a little longer, you know, give them a little more room in the bullpen, give them a little more margin for error in the bullpen later in the game. But okay, here you're against the weak part of the Giants bullpen, and you've got your leadoff. You got a fast runner on second base after Yohei Oshima leads off with a double, and you decide to bunt him over with a guy who's ostensibly a hitter, Masahiro Araki.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trailing by a run, and you bunt a runner in from scoring position, in what could be your last chance to score two runs.
Yeah,
to third, and. You know, I don't get it. Now, it probably wouldn't have mattered. It probably wouldn't have mattered anyway. But basically what they did is they said, well, you know, if you look at it, I'm not going to run the numbers for you. But basically they were in a situation where their winning percentage was about 390. And they were saying, let's get it up to about 440.
Yeah, I didn't understand it, because I thought, okay, even if you get the game even, you're depending on that bullpen. To do what exactly? What are we talking about here? You expect them to keep the Giants off the board, and you know, I don't know. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, dumb, perplexing.
Playing for a tie, you know, on the road is really dangerous.
And then the at-bats they had were pretty poor too. So I mean, let's finish talking about Anderson, and we'll get to the Dragons and overall. But I think the last thing I wanted to make was I don't usually. It's really weird for me, because, and this goes back to the days when there was no playoff system. So in the 90s, when I started to cover Japanese baseball, and I would talk to the Dragons players in Nagoya, and they would, even though they had no seemingly had no chance to get from where they were up into the the top spot and get the win the pennant and go to the Japan Series, they always said, even if it was the middle of August or the beginning of September or middle of September, if they were like 5 or 6 games back, if we can just go on a 9-game run or a 10-game run and put a winning streak together, we can get up there. We're not dead. And to hear a guy say, yeah, we're playing for third.
Well, that is the new math.
Yeah, it is. The dynamics have changed, but it's still for me, it still sounds weird.
I think that's the foreigners' dynamic too, because it, you know, and I mentioned this one before, where Jose Fernandez wasn't told that, you know, losing a game would mean losing the pennant and that it mattered to people. He thought that being in the playoffs, you know, finishing first or second was, you know, one was as good as the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody bothered to tell him. And so he played, you know, he took an all for nothing swing, get a couple extra RBIs, and it cost him the game.
Yeah.
It cost him the pennant.
Yeah.
Because nobody told him.
Yeah, which you've talked about before. So
sure.
And you look at the Dragons, and we can talk about them. Their offense has been pretty bad. Their pitching has been okay. I mean, they haven't been bad. It's just we haven't seen a lot of consistency. And now, Obviously, we've seen Anderson move around the infield, and we've seen a number of infielders play for them and get a chance to show what they can do, like you talked about. And the catching situation is another thing I wanted to talk about, because I did hear from the beat writer that basically Tanishige is not going to play very much anymore this year, and he's done after this season.
Okay.
So they're looking at these two catchers, Shota Sugiyama, and then Iori, whose name I really like. I like that name, Katsura. And, you know, Sugiyama looks like he can hit a little, but the beat writer said, yeah, only because he gets hits at really critical situations in games, and it looks like he's hitting, but he's actually not. And I'm like, well, that's good enough.
You got a
clutch hitter somewhere. I think you bust him out when you can.
Got a big leadoff double today. Yeah. But this is one that looks good in the box score.
Right, yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it snuck by the first baseman and then crawled in the corner and died.
It's not by him. It looks like Shinosuke Abe has been taking first base lessons from Alex Cabrera.
Well, that too, he had a ball. Yeah,
he bent over and looked at it.
Alex Cabrera. Well, Alex used to look at the hard hit balls. He made moves toward the slowly hit ones. But Abe also didn't catch a ball that he probably should have caught today on the fly. So anyway, we can rip his defensive first base all day. The thing about Sugiyama is he's just not a good thrower of the ball. He doesn't have much of an arm. And then Katsura, still just kind of raw in everything, they said. But he can throw. He's got an arm, but he's not much of a hitter, they said. I mean, you know. Obviously, he's going to develop, hopefully. So the plan, I guess, is for those two guys to work it out or to play the majority of games. And I guess they're going to settle on one, or maybe they're just going to have a two-headed monster behind the plate and rest one with the other. I don't know, but obviously we're going to be seeing a change there behind the plate. You talked about the pitchers during the chat with Andy, and you said, you know, Ono has been pitching great, and I thought, well, not in August. just had the bad month,
He pitched good. He pitched good the other day, so that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he did. And then Wakamatsu has been pitching great, Mr. Changeup. It was so funny today. I told someone in the office as we were watching the game together. And I said, okay, he just threw a changeup at 127. Now he's going to throw a changeup off of his changeup. So yeah, he's even going to slow it down even more. And he did.
he does throw it, and it's a good one. And it was really interesting about that. And, well, I don't want to bore you with the boring details. But, yeah, he is interesting. He's an interesting pitcher. It's a very basic. You know, he's got a little fastball. I mean, a little lowercase L, little fastball, and he's got a little slider. And he's got a little curveball, and he's got his little forkball, and a beautiful changeup. And yeah. You know, and all that makes it kind of work. If he can hit his spots, and here's the thing, his control, even through this season, is not great.
Well, you know what I've seen is it's been good though.
It has been good this year. It's been better. And he said basically the difference when I talked to him the other day. The difference this year is that his location of his fastball has been better, and his movement on his fastball has been a little better. Still is running a little bit, which I could see today. So that's been the difference. Before, he said he's had the changeup. They taught him a change. This is his third year, and they taught him a changeup as a first year as a pro. And you know, to come up with that and develop, and it's a circle change, but it's quite good. You know. So I'm impressed with him. He ain't gonna break any speed records.
He might break the speed record for
the slowest fastball. No, because I think Shunsuke Watanabe and old Hoshino Nobuyuki. Correct, Nobuyuki Hoshino. So those guys know, I saw Wakamatsu threw a couple about 132. today, but his is basically 137. 41's the fastest I've seen from him.
Yeah, he doesn't try to hurt anything. So yeah,
pulling bread now.
So as I was getting to before, a lot of these guys like Yamamoto and Wada and Morino and Tanishige and even Araki, who can still run at his age. I think he's still, you're laughing, but he's never going to be a Takahiro Suzuki because he doesn't have that kind of speed and he's not going to last that long. But he can run.
I was just thinking maybe I'll mention that to him next time I see him. He says, "Are you still fast?" And like, give me that look he gave me at the Japan Series one time.
What'd you ask him then?
I forget. It was in a bad stretch, and I meant to be positive, and he took it the wrong way. And he's always really kind to me, and always smiling and friendly, you know, and always, you know, saying hi. But he took it the wrong way, and he didn't talk to me for about 6 hours until the next day, and then he forgot about it.
Okay, all right. So yeah, the Dragons have their issues, but even with that, they're not in last place, or at least they didn't start the day in last place. They ended up falling into last place by percentage points here after the Bay Stars won tonight. But yeah, I think like I said earlier, the standings are not lying when they show us what this team has done, and it's going to be a interesting road next year for them.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm disappointed in a number of ways, but my formulas picked them to do better, but I didn't really see how that was going to happen. But you know, that's the way it goes. I'm good with that.
All right. All right, making a seamless transition, this will be the second installment of Power Tracks, and we sat down with Patrick Newman on Wednesday evening in Japan, and then talked to him about how the teams were doing in August, so let's take a listen. All right, joining us for the second installment of Power Tracks is Patrick Newman, the MPB tracker. Thanks a lot for waking up in the morning and chatting with us. We appreciate it.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, so what do you got for us this month?
All right, so the top three shouldn't come to any surprise to anyone who's following along. SoftBank.
SoftBank!
They continue to stomp.
How long did it take you to figure out that? I was just wondering, you know, how much time you put into SoftBank number one.
Well, you know, it was a product of extensive research. I had to get Jim on the phone, and we talked about it for a couple of hours. And,
you know. All right.
So, Rick Vandenhurk, 7-game winning streak. I've had him on my list for years now. It's nice to see him doing well.
Good.
Nippon Ham might have taken the top spot from SoftBank had they not been swept by them.
Yeah.
So a couple of weeks ago, one guy that I really like to see emerging is Arihara, the rookie from Waseda University.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with him early on, but I think he's getting to where he's having better command of his pitches and has a plan, and he's trying to execute the plan. So, okay, all right.
Yeah, you know me. I like guys with good arms. So
I'm not impressed with his arm, though. But, I mean,
I have to admit, I haven't seen him as a pro in a start. I've only seen him in a relief appearance. So, anyway, he's putting up some good numbers, and Nippon Ham is clearly separating themselves from the rest of the pack. And then in third place, I have Hanshin leading the Central League. So Hanshin is beating who they need to beat. They're 7-2 over the last month against DeNA, and they're 5-0 against Chunichi, and that's really the difference between them and the rest of the league. So I wouldn't call myself terribly impressed by them, but I'll give them credit where it's due for winning the games that they need to win and getting ahead.
Hey, there's something to be said for that. Okay, who do you have at the bottom?
The bottom. So number 10, I have Seibu. Seibu pulls himself out of the cellar. I think I had them last in the last edition.
And I think in our last edition, we were talking about this 6 or 7-game skid that they were on. And boy,
that wound up being a 13-game losing streak. But since then, they haven't really turned it around. I mean, they're winning more, but they're still, I think, under 500 for the month. So, you know, they've really given Lotte a chance to get back into the race for the third spot in the Pacific League.
Yep, I wrote that in a blog post that more so than Lotte winning its way into into the playoff position or third place, that the Lions just slipped and lost traction and fell back. So, I agree with that. Okay.
Yeah, so and then 11 and 12, two more Pacific League teams. Oryx looked like they were kind of turning a corner in July. and then they turned back the other way in August. So
yeah. I think they turned the corner and then they got flat.
they're just
not that good.
Their veteran acquisitions just universally have not worked out this year, and some of the guys that we saw take a step forward last year, like Shunta, for example, to a lesser extent Adachi, have kind of not maintained their form. So Oryx finds itself on the bottom, which is too bad for them. And then Rakuten, the very last. So they've just been horrible this month. And again, no pitching really outside of Norimoto. I should say no consistent pitching outside of Norimoto, and no pop in that lineup. So they find themselves in last place on my list and last place in the league too. I guess they've kind of lost their way into last place rather than Oryx winning their way out of it.
I agree with that too. Yeah.
So they're in a terrible slump.
And what else have you found looking at the numbers around the league?
Well, I don't know if this made the show last time, but when we spoke after the show last time, and I said the two teams in the Central that I thought could make a run were Hiroshima and Yakult, and the key two teams were Chunichi and DeNA, because Hiroshima has played so poorly against them over the course of the season, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's continued. So Hiroshima has a losing record against both DeNA and Chunichi, but they're at least 500 or better against everyone else. So Hiroshima is 6-12 against Chunichi and 7-12 against DeNA, and that's kind of the difference between them in a better spot in the standings. They're 53 and 57 at the moment. So kind of disappointingly for them, they got swept by the Dragons earlier in the month, and that's kept them from being higher in the list and higher in the standings. So they're kind of hovering around 53, five games under 500, and they're four games under today, but they're just kind of hovering and haven't really made a move. So they have, in counting today's game, 8 of their next 18 games against Hanshin. And so if they can really go on a good run in those 8 games, they can really take out a big chunk of Hanshin's lead and make it an interesting race. But if they fall flat or go a little under 500, then it's going to be a lot of ground for them to make up.
Okay, so by the way, everyone, we're taping on it's Wednesday night here in Japan. Is when you say today's game, you mean Thursday's game in Japan?
Yes.
Okay. So I was impressed a couple times with Hiroshima, and as I said on the show the past week, every time I'm ready to really just write them off, they win a couple games, and they did tonight too. They had a really good game against Hanshin. Really good performance by Chris Johnson, I call KJ, and he did well. And then we'll have to see how they finish out this week before we actually tape on Sunday, before I'll be impressed.
they could lose the rest of the games this week based on their track record. They're win two, lose two, win one, lose one, and they've kind of been hovering. And
they get the Bay Stars, though, this weekend, so that should improve things.
Well, it should, but they are 7-12 on the season against the Bay Stars.
Well,
so for some reason that matchup hasn't worked for them. So it could go either way. If they can balance that out and get to 500 against the Stars, then they'll be in pretty good shape relative to the league. And so just very quickly, the other team that's interesting is Yakult. Yakult Yamada is having a year for the ages. I think he's in the top two or three, I think, on every offensive category that matters except sack flies and hit by pitches. So
Jim mentioned that on the show this past week, and I wrote a blog post saying that I think he's the Central League MVP if they can win it. If they don't, I don't know if the voters in Japan, the way they think, I don't know that he'll get it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. I think that he's deserving of the MVP award, unless he just completely collapses in September, of course, but I don't see that happening. I think he'll still continue to be good. I just don't see a lot of other candidates from other teams. I think that even, I don't know where most people predicted Yakult to finish this year, but they finished last year. So just based on how competitive they've been and how big a part of that he's been, I think he's worth consideration. So he'd be my pick. Of course, I picked Kikuchi last year, and he didn't win it. So yeah, Colt, you know, they've got a great offense. They're scoring lots of runs. I think the real key to them will be how their pitching holds up. They have to rely on innings from guys like Naruse and Arakaki and Tateyama. Even Arakaki and Tateyama are causing a general ligament shortage in the general Tokyo area with all the injuries and surgeries they've required. But
we got to give you a high heat on that one.
Yeah, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys hold up over the course of the last month, because it's a long season. And if they can kind of gut out some good performances, you could see them make a run too. So it's really kind of up for grabs in the Central for me, even though Hanshin has a 3-game lead now and a 5.5-game lead over Hiroshima. But it's really, those teams all play each other, and I think September will be really interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, we will talk to you at the end of September. Thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate you doing this.
That's my pleasure. And hello, Jim.
All right. Thanks a lot, Patrick. And he says hi to you, Jim.
Well, hi, Patrick.
Well, that went well.
Yeah. I had to get that out of the way.
All right.
I really thank you. I want to say thank you, Patrick, because that was thoroughly enjoyable.
I'm really happy that he's taking the time to do it, because at first I said, hey, man, you know, let's try to get it done in 5 minutes. And I thought, you know, he's going to work all this time for a month to talk for 5 minutes, which fly by when we're doing this thing. So I said, yeah, just let it play itself out. Let it go. And I did. And it was good. So thank you very much, Patrick. I really enjoyed it. And
we did. He was fibbing. He and I did not sit down for hours going over these things.
Yeah, we know that.
Oh.
So the Bay Stars and the Eagles, awful. The Hawks, unstoppable. The Dragons had been showing some signs of life after going 18 games under 500, and that ended on the weekend. Blah, blah, blah. When's the last time a team finished the season 40 games over 500? Do you know? All right, so I see that the Giants in 2012 finished 86-43.
Okay.
So I think the Hawks are gunning for that record, and I just can't see. I mean, like a game like today on Sunday, they were down by a couple runs late, and they come right back and tie the score, and they end up not losing. They didn't win the game, and they had opportunities to win, obviously, but they...
They didn't have many. They didn't have many.
Well, late in the extra innings, but...
The Fighters had plenty of chances and didn't. And well, I whenever you've got Haruki Nishikawa on base, I'm not certain it counts as a chance.
Hashtag high.
In fact, the Fighters are one of those teams. On my blog, I've been writing about teams making outs on the bases, but the Fighters have a few of these guys who are accidents waiting to happen. It's basically, but on, you know, the Hawks, you'll find often that teams that get a lot of runners out on the bases tend to be pretty good teams, the Rockton Eagles being the huge exception.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a couple I was looking for who gets thrown out on the bases the most, and it's like there's a couple of Fighters guys. But one of them is Takuya Nakashima.
Uh-huh.
So there. Anyway, so there. I don't know if he's one of the worst base runners, but he takes a lot of chances. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, the Eagles had a little skid there that they finally ended on Thursday. And, you know, I thought Yinji Akiminai's return would kind of give him a boost, but it didn't. He didn't really hit with a lot of power. He really is not a power hitter, but he can't pitch either. And they've had the spotty rotation and patchy offensive production all season. And it's no surprise that they're headed for last place. And you tweeted that Dave, the manager, Dave Okubo, plans to step down after the season. I saw something in one of the Japanese daily sports papers today. Mm-hmm. And then they had Senichi Hoshino as the possible replacement. I'm like, let that man die. Leave him alone. Don't bring him back for that headache.
Yeah, that's certainly right. I mean, I can't see that. I can see hiring. Well, I don't want to on Dave Okubo right now.
But, no, I don't either. I really don't think that that's fair. That was kind of surprising to me. I think he deserves a shot with a decent rotation and a couple of hitters who could maybe produce a little bit more consistently. And, you know, he's got to crunch a million numbers a day to come up with a lineup, you know, for each pitcher and the situations, I think. And maybe he doesn't have to do it, but it seems to me that he is, because he's changing the lineups all the time. And I don't know. I don't think it's fair. I think he at least deserves another year with a bunch of imports who maybe one of them produces consistently, and he's not getting that.
What I would do with Dave is I would
take him out and shoot him somewhere.
That's so on me. Oh. I don't believe in shooting people as a rule.
As a rule.
I don't even want to say something like that would be a waste of a good bullet or anything. But no, I think I'd send him back to be the minor league manager, you know, and see if he does something there. I mean, that's what, you know, he really belongs at this stage of the grade. I got the impression he couldn't really manage very well.
Yeah, I don't think it's the management part so much. I'm sorry, the game tactics. I think it's more the people management, and that's the issue that he's struggling with.
I don't know.
I think it's, well, obviously it's both.
I don't know. See, normally you pick on, I don't like to pick on people's game management when it's so glaring. Of course, I also understand this, that the Fighters have no power. The Eagles have no power. So you try to do, you know, all of the St. Louis Cardinals of the 80s, you try to manufacture runs by, you know, by getting people on base and running them. But the problem is they don't have runners on base either.
Yeah, they don't have runners on base, and the guys they have on base probably shouldn't be running. So a lot of times, and they are.
And the plan is we're going to run because that's what we do.
Right.
And it's a whole difference between taking what you can get and trying to make something that isn't there.
Right.
And that's what the Eagles have been doing all year.
Right. And something that isn't there is the wins are not there for the Yokohama Bay Stars. And I did see the note that they were the first team to go into the All-Star break with a lead in the pennant race or their league and then fall into last place. And if they finished sixth, that would be the first time that a team led at the All-Star break and then finished in last place. That would be an NPB first. Now, I don't think it's a big deal because I think that All-Star break thing was overrated because they were 500 at the All-Star break, and that's not very good. That's just mediocre. Right. They just happened to be in first place at that time.
Yeah, and the whole Central League has been, you know, I think the most separation we've had in the whole Central League this year has been about 9 games.
From top to bottom, you're thinking.
Yeah, about the most difference we've had.
Right, but they've been awful since interleague play. You know, I've been calling them the Dead Stars on Twitter. I'm sorry. They just look lifeless.
And I'm the one who's taking people out and shooting them. Wow.
Well, my latest blog post, I said, you know what? The Nakahata reign just needs to end because they just need to get somebody who's in charge, in control, get a direction, and then go that way. And I don't think he's not in charge. He doesn't have any direction. His plan is bump into a wall and change direction, and that's not going to get them into the playoffs, obviously. I think we talk about overachieving and underachieving, and I think they're underachieving offensively. I think that rotation, you know, we talked about it before, so I don't want to get into it again, but the rotation hasn't been it hasn't lived up to expectations. But offensively, this team has had the guns to shoot, and they've got no bullets, or they're shooting blanks or something. They're not packing the...
Yeah, well, when you've got... And, you know, and they're getting a very respectable year from Jose Lopez, and Tsutsugo's a terrific player, and so is Kajitani, and so is Aaron Balderas, and he's been kind of healthy this year compared to last year.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it is not that good.
Enough said. Making a two-team transition, I want to talk about MVP candidates. I wrote a blog post this past week, and basically what I said was I think hands down in the Pacific League, Yuki Yanagita is going to be the winner. It's obvious, and I'm just writing from the perspective of the Japanese media. That's who they're going to pick, whether he deserves it or not. But I think he deserves it.
Tell us what. Oh, okay. Well, tell us what you think.
Well, I think he deserves
it. You've got another thought going on there.
No, I don't. I just. Here's my issue. My issue is Takuya Nakamura of the Cebu Lions deserves second place votes.
Oh, okay.
For sure.
I wouldn't argue with that. He deserves all the second place votes.
He deserves them all, yeah. And I would give the third place votes to either Akiyama or Kyoto of the Marines. I think his production really sparked that team, Kyoto. And when he had his real hot streak, that really got them going. And not that, you know, he's been great since then. He's been okay. But he got them the confidence. And if they end up making the playoffs, I think it's a lot of it is he deserves some credit for it, I should say.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't have any problem with either of those two guys. I think actually I would go, you know, I'm split. I think the best three players in the Pacific League are, you know, in this order. And I'm going to go. I have a tough choice separating Nakamura and Akiyama because they've both been so darn good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got a pretty good third baseman with a pretty good center fielder. You know, neither of them are that great, but they both can play defense. And that's why the other good hitter I'm leaving out would be Lita Ho.
Oh, yeah,
Who's having a better year offensively than either of those other two guys, but certainly. he doesn't play defense. So that's, you know, of course that never bothered a Japanese MVP voter.
Right. In the Central League now, I wrote that if the Swallows don't win the league title, that it's going to be hard for Tetsuto Yamada, who I think should get, without a doubt, is the MVP and should get the award. But if he doesn't win, I just don't think that I'm sorry.
I think it would be difficult, but it's very possible if there's this, you know, and we talked about this, and I talked about this in a story with that got some press in the Yukon Fuji.
Uh-huh.
That basically there's no dialogue in the media about who should be the MVP.
Right, you know, now in Central League?
Right. No. Yeah. In the media.
But you know why? Because they don't see who's going to win yet. So once they have a winning team, then they'll be able to pick an MVP.
And even then, there's no dialogue. You know, it's always, oh, you know, the season's over. This person should be the MVP. That's it. There's no like logical, no rhetoric, no back and forth, no
discussion.
Yeah. There's no dialogue in the media at all, except sometimes on TV when the announcer, the analyst will say, this guy should be the MVP. And the announcer says, oh, you're right.
Or he says, I haven't thought about it.
Right, that's it. And then they're announced and they forget about all the other counter arguments and they say, oh, how wonderful.
Right.
This guy is the best player.
Yeah, right. So I just said, other than Yamada, there aren't any candidates with worthy resumes. I said, basically in my blog post, I said it'd be the equivalent to finding America's next top model from a pool of the former Biggest Losers. I mean, you know, I just don't think there is another candidate out there. I threw some names up there, Miles Michaelis. I think he's pitched really well for the Giants. It's been one of their main cogs in the rotation, and that's why they're where they're at. Chris Johnson of the Carp, same thing can be said for him. And then Shintaro Fujinami of the Tigers. I think without those guys, it has been hard. But nobody has stepped forward as a standout player who's really contributed a lot to a lot of victories. Now, some guys might have put up some numbers, but I got no other names. You got some?
That's a good question. Well, the problem is, again, here's the problem. If you have to pick it from a team that's not going to win the pennant, that's going to win the pennant besides the Swallows, yeah, you got to dig pretty deep because the Giants don't have an offense. You know, that's the fundamental issue there. The Tigers, if it's the Tigers, I might go with Fukudome.
Yeah, he has really had a good second half.
Well, no, he had a good first half. I mean, you know, and the reason I say this is because a number of Tigers fan listeners might remember that I said before the season they should just take him out in the field and put Hayata Ito in the field. You know, put Fukudome out to pasture, and he's just had this really good season. So I noticed that in May.
Uh-huh.
So I think he's probably my top candidate for the Tigers. And then for the Giants, it might have to be Miles Michaelis. Yeah, it might have to be Miles Michaelis if he pitches again.
Yeah, we don't know about that.
If he has an MVP speech, maybe he'll disclose the reason why he's been deactivated.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no reason to speculate now. The problem is really about the Japanese media, and I'm interested to see. I mean, I try to start debate. I go on the sidelines before games, and I talk to reporters. We have a friend, the guy who did that article that you appeared in.
Mr. Miyawaki, yeah.
Miyawaki, and I've asked him about it, and I've asked him to ask other people about it, and I've told him what I think. And I tried to help have him pass along my thoughts to other Japanese media as I do the same. So I'm trying to spread the word, but I've been trying for years to get these people to vote for the right person, and they haven't figured it out.
Well, the thing is, the system is very much fossilized. Mm. And I don't mean that like there's a bunch of old fossils, but it's hardened to the point that the editors are playing to a form. You know, they're like filling out a form with the MVP, and the writers can't really stray too much from that. You know, if you write something way out there like we're recommending, the editor's going to say, you know, put this, you know, take this stuff and stick it where the sun doesn't shine.
Ouch.
Because the readers don't care about this stuff, and they don't. You know, and we know that newspapers have often little touch with the reader, what the readers actually want, and they basically just regurgitate what they've been regurgitating for the past 20 years.
Maybe 40. Maybe
40.
Yeah, maybe more.
You know, nobody cares about runs. Nobody cares about walks. It's all about RBIs.
Yeah, well, this will be an interesting debate, I think, at the end of the season, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. All right, another two-seam transition over to some notes now. Rick VandenHerck of the SoftBank Hawks on Wednesday won 3-0 over the Lotte Marines at Yahoo Dome, and he became the first foreign pitcher, to win his first 7 games. And they say from the start of the season, but we all know he was injured at the very beginning of the season. But anyway, he has moved to 7-0.
So actually, he's 12-1 this season, if you count the 5-1 record in the Western League.
In the Western League. No, we can't count that.
But that's still...
So my question to you about him is, do you see him as the getting the ball for the first game in the playoffs for the Hawks? That would be stage 2 of the Climax series.
That would be, the answer would be 4 words, which would be no and hell no. And it's not because I don't think he's not qualified, because he certainly is. But he's just, you know, this is Japan. And there's a pecking order. And he ain't at the top. So they're going to pick Setsu if he's, you know, unless he's pitching badly, or maybe Standridge, who's, you know, his senpai, senior
in the club, yeah.
You know, somebody who's been there before he has. But, yeah, he could be number 2, conceivably, if Standridge is not pitching that well, or, you know, who knows.
All right, well, another SoftBank Hawk to talk about is Dennis Sarfate, who stretched his NPB record of consecutive innings with at least one strikeout to today. I think he had one today, so that would be 39 now, and that's quite impressive. And I remember way back when when he was in his first season here with the Carp, and I said, man, I really love this guy. I like the way he throws. I like that. And you said something to the effect of, I'm not all that impressed with him, blah, blah, blah. I think he's in the midst of his best season in Japan so far.
It's not that I wasn't impressed with him. There were issues with his record that didn't impress me. I thought he was really good, but I saw enough things to make me think, you know, leave aside the visual aspect, and I know you were big on his whip, on his walks and hits per inning pitched. So we don't get any sort of misconstruations there.
Yeah, my big thing with him was the way I liked his delivery, I liked his movement on his pitches, and I liked the results, and I liked his velocity. I mean, there wasn't much I didn't like about him.
There was a lot of things that I was sitting on the fence about, and I continue, you know, and then he had some injury issues, and he was ineffective, and he lost that job. Then he went to Cebu, where he had some more issues, and then he kind of found the job and cemented the job, and then went to SoftBank. And as I mentioned, he did have an offer to pitch for the Giants as a starter, I think. They wanted him to start, as I recall. But in any case, going back to him, a really interesting season, because he is having a dynamite season, and he has these wild saves sometimes. But because he's got that fastball, and because he's got the confidence in his fastball, at some point he just sort of rears back, and you know he makes sure he's throwing the pitches right. You know, he's got good arm action and the proper balance, and then you know, you really, it's hard to have a chance. And so when he gives up, runs or when he gives up hits, it's like people get good swings on good pitches.
Yeah, but you said he's got wild saves sometimes. I think you're remembering last year, because this year, I mean, he's only given up
fewer of them.
Well, he hasn't had many at all this year. He hasn't given up that many hits. I'm not adding up today's stuff because I don't have that in front of me. Going into the Sunday's games, 22 hits in 53 innings and 11 walks.
Right.
And 88 strikeouts. I think
what happens is most of the times he's lights out, and then the other times he's got, you know, the tying runs on base, and then he gets out of it with a strikeout.
Yeah, I've seen a couple, and then today what happened was let a runner on, and then he threw a ball away and allowed the runner to get into scoring position, and then, like you said, got the strikeouts, got out of trouble, but I still like him.
Yeah, I do too, because he's always got that security blanket of his fastball and the confidence in it.
Yep.
So, got to love that.
All right, and also Shogo Akiyama of the Save the Lions. Now, their game was rained out on Sunday, and they're going to be playing on Monday when this is posted. So hopefully he'll get a hit and get a few hits, actually, and get closer to this record now.
Okay, Akiyama has 185 hits with 23 games to play.
And so the record is 214 hits in a season, and that's Matt Merton. So
he needs 30 hits in 23 games.
And, you know, I could see him getting there, but now the pressure's on, you know. And plus, these games are so important going down the stretch. It's not like he can, you know, if the manager's going to ask him to bunt again, he's going to have to bunt, give himself up a few times in a week, and going to walk here and there. Do you see him getting there?
Well, I was thinking the record was 210. I gave him 60-40. I would say 40% of getting there and 60% of not. Now you mentioned something about him having cooled off. Yes, he has cooled off since June, but he still had 33 hits in 25 games in August.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's certainly in that area. Now, another thing to take into account is, you know, lower batting averages in September. And if you're curious, since 2006, the batting averages in September have been 2% lower than they have been the rest of the season before that. So
what's that mean to me?
It means pretty much nothing.
Okay.
You might lose one hit because it's September.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, and I don't know what his real ability is. I mean, until this season, he's been basically a 300 hitter. So, is he over his head? Is this a new level of ability? Probably not to some degree. The chances are going to be hard. And when you get to the record, it gets even harder. You can ask Matt Merton about that.
Who holds the record, right?
I mean, Matt Merton was on a pace to hit about 225 or 230. And he ended up with 214 because it just gets so hard.
Yeah. All right, one quick note before we go to the top performers of the month. Hiroshi Moriwaki, who had stepped down as manager of the Oryx Buffaloes earlier this year, officially is out of that post and became an advisor to the team, and that will begin as of September 1st.
Actually, tomorrow will be his last day. When you're listening to this, will be his last day officially as manager. Yes.
Right. Okay, top performers of the month now. In the Central League, who do you got?
We got Shunta Wakamatsu, and then we've got the dilemma.
Shunta Wakamatsu, the pitcher of the Dragons we talked about earlier, and then the dilemma.
With a 1.83 ERA or something. Okay, the dilemma is, do you go with Tetsuto Yamada?
I do.
The Swallows, who hit 323 with a 396 on base percentage, 9 home runs, 21 RBIs, 20 runs scored, 6-0 as a base stealer, you know, pretty good month overall. And or you have the guy that these people always select, the guy who leads the league in batting if he hits 400. We have Soichiro Tateoka of the Giants, who's a suspect runner, a suspect fielder, but boy, can he hit for average. Hit 402 this month through Saturday. I think it's about the same today. He had one hit. And so are they going to pick a guy on batting average, or are they going to look somewhere else? So we'll get to see.
Maybe they won't pick him because he apparently went to the Yasiel Puig school of base running, where you just keep running until somebody tags you out.
Yeah, he keeps you running. Yeah, indeed he does.
Don't mind those white things in the middle of the field. They're just speed bumps.
he's seeking nirvana.
What about in the Pacific League?
Pacific League, we have another interesting. Obviously, the other guy is Yamada's clone, who's Yanagita. And if you look at their season numbers, I dare you, if you put them in a hat and tried to pick one out at random and tell whose it was, I don't think you'd get it right half the time because they're so identical. Mm. Yuki Yanagita, the Hawks, yes, obvious choice. And the pitcher, however, is interesting. I don't see any big pitchers in the Pacific League. What I do see is your man, Dennis Sarfati.
Yeah, I was thinking about that today. I kept thinking, you know, why have I not seen him up there, and how come he can't be one of the guys? Yeah, I would love to see that.
This is not a month like, we didn't have we had last year where we had Shohei Ohtani, who had a brilliant month but only won two games. You know, he struck out a zillion batters, but nah, we want a starting pitcher with three wins. This is a month where there really wasn't a good outstanding starting pitcher in the Pacific League, and we've got a reliever who threw Saturday's game, and I don't know if he pitched today, I didn't even see it, but through Saturday's game, he had pitched in 10 games. He had 8 saves, 1 hold, and 1 win. And the 1 win came when he allowed 2 hits that blew an 8th inning save.
All right, well, we'll see if he gets it. That should be interesting. You know, I like him. I was thinking the same thing. We haven't had many relievers except for Tony Barnett.
Which I thought was weird, even though I like Tony. And when I did the story on Tony Barnett, he said, "Oh, so I'm like your leftovers, your second choice. You wanted Miles to win. I'm glad you won, but it's unusual." Yeah. So,
all right, let's go to fielding questions. Okay, question is a high heat question from @StuartMiller. He said, "With the recent no hitter by Mike Fiers, boo." And Hisashi Iwakuma, the boo is mine. Why is the no-hitter / perfect game such a rare thing in Japan? # high heat. I wanted to take this one first because I pretty much know what you're going to say. But we've talked about it on the show in the past, probably before you started listening, Stuart, so a few years back. And there was one time where I went to do an interview with a pitcher and I was about to ask him the same question. And then it just hit me. In this country, there are so many slap and run guys, so many contact guys. Mm-hmm. And you always hear about the pitchers when we interview them. They say how good these guys, how adept they are at making contact, that it's really hard to get strikeouts. In fact, I always think a strikeout in Japan is probably worth 1.5 strikeouts back in the major leagues because the guys are swinging different. And I was told by someone, because I don't have kids who are playing, obviously I don't have kids, but I don't have any kids who are playing Little League here in Japan, but they teach kids at a young age to swing down on the ball.
Right.
And to get the ball on the ground and put the pressure on the defense and make them make the put out. And so they learn at a young age to approach the game differently, whereas in the States they tell you to take a level swing, but they also don't mind when you're swinging up, especially if you can get the backspin on the ball that helps the ball carry out of the park. So I think that's the reason that we've discussed in the past. Jim?
I think that was the first thing I was going to mention. The other thing is they didn't used to be very rare in Japan. And they used to not be very rare because there was a huge gap. There was a larger gap in talent between the top players, the Nagashimas and the Kazuhisa Inaos and players of that caliber and the guys at the bottom. So it was a different game. You used to have lots of no-hitters.
All right. All right, so good question. We appreciate it. A reminder, the JBW milestone, we are now 7 episodes from our 200th Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. So please send us your favorite moments via Twitter or email. The show is going to be on October 19th. You can send those questions to ykyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at #highheat @JBWpodcast or go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes. Thank you very much for listening. It was a long show. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Patrick, the MPB tracker, for Power Tracks, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
Talk to you next time.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.